everybody is having a great week and a great weekend, and I'm just excited. God is faithful. God is good. God is gracious. God is loving. God is altogether beautiful. God is altogether gracious. God is altogether faithful. And it's always an honor and a joy to be in class, to behold your faces. I'll try and put on my camera if the network will allow me today. But, you know, it's just a blessing to be in this class, to behold your faces, and to rejoice in the goodness of God and his faithfulness towards us. I'm truly excited about, you know, the class, but much more, I'm more excited about 30 Days of Glory starting a week after now.
Glory.
So it's just a joy for me, all round joy. Praise God. Amen. All right, guys, let's pray. Father, we thank you for grace and mercy. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for this class. Thank you for every student of this class. Thank you that revelation knowledge is our right in Christ. So we receive by faith. And we rejoice that the eyes of our understanding flooded, our hearts are open to the truth that is in your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are building up everything that makes us effective in serving your purpose to our world. So tonight, as we share, light shines, our minds are illuminated, our thoughts align with the realities that you've made available to us. We serve you in the gospel of Christ, and we serve humanity through the preaching of the word. At the end of this class, we'll be the better for you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Our vision again is to reintroduce Jesus to this generation, equipping the believer to know who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and what Christ can do through you. That's the mandate that drives us. That's the mandate that excites us. That's the reason for living for me, as far as I'm concerned. You know, this is all I live for. And this is all I would want to live for in a billion worlds. Just to serve God's people, to serve Christ by serving his people, and to stand for the truth of the gospel and defend it with everything I've got. I'm glad to have all of you on this team. Growth is taking place in your hearts. Growth is taking place in the disciples of Christ till the trumpet sounds. Praise God. All right, today we're going to be examining a new class, and I want to go straight to that class because of time. I'm going to be looking at week 19. This is week 19. This is week 19. We want to start looking at things Paul told Timothy. Things that Paul told Timothy in the mentorship part one. Things Paul told Timothy. Things Paul told Timothy. Understanding what ministry meant.
Baba, we can't hear you anymore.
Pastor Sean, you couldn't hear me, right?
No, we couldn't hear you anymore. We can hear you now.
All of you were frozen, so I thought rapture had taken place.
Baba, we're left behind, sir.
Please be left behind, because that's the safest place to be. Please be left behind.
Yes,
that's the safest place to be.
Yes.
All right. Pastors are always left behind, because you know they don't like us. We're the ones that used to stay behind. White people's clothes are falling. They will be the ones to gather the clothes. The pastor will have a big wardrobe all of a sudden. And the pastor will have to fit in the different sizes of clothes and shoes. God is gracious indeed. Bless the pastor with a new wardrobe in 1 hour. In fact, we need a few minutes. Don't mind me. Believe me, I'll just keep laughing for the rest of the night. Let's get into this class. All right. So we're understanding ministry mentorship. Tonight we're looking at part one. We have just one ministry model, one major model of ministerial training, one major model of ministerial training mentorship and fathering in the epistles. We have just one major model of ministerial training, mentorship, and fathering in the epistles. Paul and Timothy, and also Titus. Paul and Timothy, and also Titus. It is noteworthy that Timothy was very active in ministry. Actually, Timothy was a pastor of pastors, yet he was undergoing training. That means you will never outgrow training in ministry. I mean, Timothy was a pastor of pastors. At this level, when Paul was writing to Timothy, he was already a bishop over churches. Yet Paul admonished him like a son. He was undergoing training. This piece will let you know if you are being well mentored or if you're mentoring others well. At the end of this teaching, you will know if I am mentoring you well or if you yourself are mentoring others well. Let us see some instructions Paul gave to Timothy. Instructions. And I'd like you to take note of the word instructions, because that's going to be a capital word in mentoring. Instructions. Let's see some of those instructions Paul gave to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mayest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Verse 4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. So the first instruction Paul gives to Timothy is stop false teachings and his teachers. Stop false teachings. Anywhere you see false teaching taking place, stop it. And stop the teachers of the same. It's like somebody say, why is Dr. Damina always attacking men of God? Men of God feel attacked because they are guilty. A friend of mine called me today and he said, Dr. Damina, you throw the bombs and we're the ones that receive the impact of the bombs. I said, what happened? He said, everybody that cannot face you, they are all calling us. They are calling me especially. Then he mentioned the name of some pastors who called him. And they said, Damina is your friend, right? He said, yes, Dr. Damina is my friend. Dr. Damina is my brother, and I'm not ashamed of him in any way. I'm proud to have a brother and a friend like that. Then they say, but why is he attacking men of God? So my friend said, he said to them, why don't you face your own ministry and preach your own? Preach your own. Dr. Damina is preaching his own. You're busy there complaining. You better go and be preaching your own. Except you are guilty of what Damina is speaking. But if you're not guilty of what he's speaking, don't bother yourself with what he's speaking. Face your front. Yeah, face your front. You know, many men of God and many Christians don't know that it is the responsibility of believers to stop false teachers and false teachings. If we had been doing this long ago, these charlatans called prophets in Africa, they wouldn't have grown the way they have grown. This prosperity nonsense will have stopped long ago in Africa. You can imagine people that have been driven away from church, people that have been misled from Christ, people that have been driven away from God by just some of these things that were left unchallenged. So Paul told Timothy, number one, stop false teachings and his teachers. Stop it. Do not give room for false teaching either. Stop them. And in your own ministry, don't give room for false teachings. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. 1 Timothy 1, 18 and 19. Second instruction. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Verse 19. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. So he told Timothy, do not despise supernatural utterances. Do not despise supernatural utterances. Number two, holding faith, which refers to the message. Hold the message. Holding faith there means hold the message. Number three, he said, know that some folks have abandoned sheep. They have abandoned sound doctrine. They have gone after false doctrine. Take note that some people that used to preach sound doctrine with you, they have abandoned it. They have gone after false doctrine. And the post-text of that scripture mentioned their names. Paul was even mentioning names. He said, Dr. Damina is attacking people, and I've not started calling names, and they are shouting. Paul mentioned names. In fact, Paul delivered them to Satan, which means condemnation. He even pronounced condemnation on them. I mean, that would be too rough in today's, you know, description. They would have said, this guy is wicked. But why is he? He's not even attacking. He's abusing and insulting people. Paul mentioned names. He delivered them to Satan. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, he gave Timothy another instruction. Don't forget, I said, if you can, write instruction in capital letter, because mentoring, one of the second words for mentoring is instructions. Instructions. Mentoring is all about instructions. Instruction. You know, the Bible says, take fast hold of instruction, for she is your life. Instruction is critical. So he gave Timothy another instruction, 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So he told Timothy, prayer, don't play with prayer. You must pray and be prayerful. Timothy, you must pray and be prayerful. Then 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Without wrath and without doubting. Okay? Ensure those in church are also praying. That's what he meant in that verse of scripture. In 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. That is, ensure that those in your church are also giving to prayer. Then another instruction, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Bishop is work, is not a title, is work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. The husband of one wife. Vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, and apt to teach. So what Timothy is telling, I mean, Paul is telling Timothy is, those to be placed in leadership must be sound. Don't just put anybody. They must be sound. That's the next instruction. Then 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, 10, 14, and 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, verse 10, verse 14, and verse 15. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given too much wine, not greedy or filthy lucre. And let this first also be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. These things write I unto you, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. That is, there should be order in how you do things. And the emphasis he gave him here in 1 Timothy chapter 3 is choosing leadership, in the choice of leadership. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, he gives him another instruction. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith, and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wife fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Ensure you warn the church about false doctrine. That's what he was telling Timothy. Ensure you warn the church about false doctrine, so you be a good minister, and you too should shun false doctrine. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, Paul again tells Timothy another one. These things command and teach. These things command and teach. Teach these things with authority. That's what he meant. Teach, he gave him a syllabus of things to teach with authority. Teach these things with authority. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. What he was telling Timothy is, let no one should look down on you. Do not permit it. Rather than get defensive, be exemplary. Be exemplary. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14 to 16, he gives him another instruction. The whole book is full of instructions. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4 to 16. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself. Thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. 1 Timothy 4, 14 and 15. The instructions are simply, number one, never forget the supernatural gift. Number one, never forget the supernatural gift. Number two, meditate upon my instructions. Meditate upon my instructions. Number three, be careful about what you teach. Be careful about what you teach. Number four, save yourself and your audience. Save yourself and your audience. Now take note of this. Nothing of these things that I have shared with you suggests several things that are taught in modern day school of ministry. A lot of school of ministry you go, they will be teaching you branding, packaging, TV lights, ushers in front of church shouting, what is even that word they used to say? I celebrate you, I celebrate you, I celebrate you. A sinner is coming to church with his sins, you are celebrating him. The name of packaging and branding. Then they will teach you how to preach seeker-sensitive messages. You know, seeker-sensitive messages, those kind of things Joel Austin used to preach all the time. Don't offend people. Speak nicely. Don't go into core doctrine. Stay in motivation. Tell people they are nice. Tell them to be nice. Tell them to be happy. Tell them God is happy with them. Tell them to be gentle. Tell them to look at life from a positive perspective. Things like that. Those are the kind of things they teach in so-called school of ministry. How to raise money in church, how to fundraise, you know, how to distribute flyers and tracts and prepare invitation letters that will bring people to church, how to increase your church through breakfast meetings, lunch meetings, dinners, bringing people to eat, because people cannot resist food. So create a budget that will feed people from time to time. And when they come, make sure there are good musicians that will sing very nice, celebrated global songs. Make sure there are beautiful ushers to usher them. Make sure that there are, you know, gift packages. You prepared very nice, well-branded gift packages, you know, and all of that. And they call that evangelism and discipleship. What a laugh. And that's what many modern-day school of ministries produce. That's what they teach. They don't even talk about doctrine. They don't even talk about sound Bible teaching. No, 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 no. It's all about packaging, branding, and all of that. Paul did not teach Timothy how to grow your ministry. He didn't teach him that. From the things we have seen in the instruction, he didn't teach him how to grow your ministry or how to be relevant. Or he didn't teach him covenant secrets of world-renowned ministries. He didn't teach him mysteries of the fastest growing churches. He didn't teach him any of those. For instance, fasting, master how to use the media, master how to... In fact, you know, let me tell you guys something that will shock you. There are churches that bring psychologists to advise the pastor on the kind of program to do that will be acceptable by the society because of the psychological issues going on in that community. I'm not joking. I am not joking. I know churches, general overseers, who invite psychologists to come and advise them on how to package their handbill and how to package things because the psychologists understand what is the psychology of the community at that time. What are people going through? What is more common? Then they will advise the pastor. Based on that, he will now design a program. It's crazy. It's crazy. That one is even better. There are pastors that will go to soothsayers, diviners, sorcerers, native doctors. All of that in a bid to grow church. There are some of them that will go to one mountain in Kumasi in Ghana. All across Africa, they will go there and fast for 40 days. They will wash their eyes. They will wash their tongue. They will wash everything. They went to that mountain not able to see into the spirit. They are coming out able to see things. You see a young pastor coming out after 40 days of dry fasting. They have initiated him into calls, into spirits. And he can look at you and just tell you your history, tell you your story, tell you things about your life. I'm not joking. I know what I'm telling you guys. I know what I'm telling you guys. I know what I'm telling you guys. And they do all of that. Some of them will go to some of these soothsayers. They will put something in their tongue so that when they speak, people will follow them. That's why in those churches, you will find out that even if you show the people the truth, they can't leave because they are under a spell. A spell. You know, a friend of mine in Ghana, one of the fathers of the Ghana churches, we used to be close, but we've not seen in a bit right now. His name is Bishop Ajin Asare, Charles Asare. We used to be close back in the days. I used to preach for him. He used to preach for me. And he told me a story of something that happened in Ghana. He said a particular pastor in Ghana has a church of about 2,000 people. And then for a while, that church just grew overnight. For a while, he has not gone to see the native doctor to pay the dues. Because there are dues you pay from time to time. He has not gone to pay the dues to that native doctor. Bishop Asari told me this story. And he told me it's a true story. And then when the native doctor waited and waited, the guy didn't come, but the church was growing. They had hit over 2,000 people. On a Sunday service, they are worshiping on a Sunday. The native doctor came with his regalia, with calabash and everything to the church. And when he arrived at the church, he walked straight to the ushers. The usher saw him and he was looking spooky. They stopped him. And he said, "Why are you stopping?" They said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I came to see my son. Go and tell your pastor inside that Baba has come. Since I waited for him to come, he didn't come. Go in and tell your pastor that Baba is here." So the usher said, "No." He said, "If you don't go in, I will go in and embarrass him. Tell him Baba is outside." So the ushers were able to curtail the man. One of them went in and whispered to the pastor that, Baba is here. The pastor left the service as they are singing praise and worship, came out and came and met Baba and apologized to Baba that he has not been able to come with returns, that is very sorry. Baba told him the gods are angry. Ushers are hearing them. The gods are angry. Since you have not made returns, the gods have sent me to come and carry my team. He went into the church in the midst of service, opened the rug on the pulpit, went underground into the small hole they had created underground, brought out calabash, everybody is seeing, carried his thing and left, and nobody left the church. Everybody still stayed in the church. Bishop Ajinasari said to me, I have never seen this kind of thing before. He said, nobody left. By the following Sunday, everybody was back. And between that Sunday and the following Sunday, the pastor has gone back to Baba and paid his dues and made peace. Baba came back in the night and put calabash back. I'm not joking. And these things are many. There's a church in Nigeria where some men of God highly placed, because of the sensitivity of the matter, I wouldn't want to disclose them. Two of them told me that church, they buried 100 cows on their pulpit. 100 cows. It was an all-night sacrifice. And that church has like 100,000 people in that building. But they did a ritual that has brought those people. 100 cows were buried in that church on the pulpit. 100 cows. All night. Before that church was dedicated. And the crowd just started flocking in there. So, that's what we are confronted with. A lot of things are happening underground. People don't know. When you hear me shouting, I know why I am shouting. I've been around. I know what's going on. I know what I was in the caucus. I know everything that is going on. I'm not a novice. And they know I know because I was there with them. So I know what's going on. And we need to clean up these things, because if we don't clean up these things, a lot of people are going to go to hell. A lot of people will not hear Christ. They will not hear the gospel. A lot of people are already disenchanted. And that's why Paul kept instructing Timothy. And if you observe, the strongest letters of the epistles were to pastors against false doctrine. And false doctrine has never been confronted in a nice way. Jesus will enter a temple and overturn their table and use whip to chase them out. We have not even chased anybody out. Jesus will chase people out, drive them out of the temple, break down their tables. And if you read your Bible very well, whenever Jesus was confronting the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he was very hard. He called them whitewashed sepulchre. He called them, he called them all kinds of names. All kinds of names. He was never nice to them. But when he addressed sinners, he was very nice to sinners. He didn't have problem with sinners and sin, but he had problem with false doctrine. He had problem with false teachers. He had problem with wrong teaching. And he was not nice about it. He was not brood of vipers. Yes, whitewashed sepulchre. He called them all kinds of names. In fact, in one place in the book of John, he told them, you will die in your sins. Jesus, who came to die for sins, the team must have offended him badly. He looked at them and told them, you will die in your sins. Then he said, I repeat again, you will die in your sins. This is Jesus, who came to die for sins. Because you cannot pamper false doctrine. You can't pamper it. You can't be nice about it. That's destruction already going for people who don't know the difference. And so that's why Brother Paul took time to keep admonishing, telling Timothy, the only way I can mentor you, Timothy, will be by instructions. If you want me to mentor and father you effectively, you must obey instruction. Then he began to lay down the instructions to him. Number one, charge them that they teach no other doctrine. Charge them that they teach no other doctrine. Stop false teachers. Stop false teachings. Do not give room for it. Don't despise supernatural utterances. Hold the message. Hold it well. Know that some people have abandoned sheep. Don't make them your friends so that they don't corrupt you with their evil intentions. They have abandoned sheep. Pray. Pray, Timothy, pray. And make the church to be committed to prayer. Those that are going to work with you as a team in leadership must be sound. Let there be things done orderly in the church. Ensure you warn the church about false doctrine so that you can be a good minister. Shun false doctrine. Don't entertain it. And teach these things with authority. No one should look down on you. Don't allow anybody to look down on you. Who are the father? Who are the fathers? You've done ministry for close to 40 years. You've been married for 30-something years. And then they are saying you are talking to fathers. Who are the fathers, man? Is it when you are 50 years in ministry that you are a father? It's disrespect. It's actually an insult on my person to be telling me I'm talking to the fathers. Who are the fathers? We are the fathers. And posterity will not forgive us. Posterity will not forgive us if we keep quiet. Evil thrives when good people do nothing about it. Posterity will not forgive us. They have not even seen anything yet. We're just warming up. This is when they are crying. We're just warming up. We're just warming up. The greatest mistake they will make is to answer us. Then they will hear woto at another level. So Paul is telling them, Timothy, these are the things you should take note of. Never forget the supernatural gift. Meditate upon my instructions. Be careful about what you teach. Save yourself and save those who hear you. Paul did not teach him any of those things that are taught in school of ministries today. Nothing in this letter suggests that they were even implied. But all he kept giving Timothy was caution, 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 caution. Caution was what he taught him. Caution. Watch here. Watch there. Don't do this. Avoid that. Stop that. Confront that. Make sure this is done. That is how mentoring is done. That's how we mentor people. And that's how we are mentored. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, thank you for this class tonight. I pray that these instructions will go down into our minds and our understanding. That these realities will dawn on us. That these responsibilities will dawn on us. Responsibility of the defense of the gospel. Responsibility of the preaching of sound doctrine. And the responsibility of holding the message in spite of persecution, in spite of turbulence, in spite of attacks, that we stick to the fidelity of scripture. And that, Lord, we defend it with everything we have. We thank you for the privilege that we are counted worthy to be persecuted, that we are counted worthy to be called names, that we are counted worthy to be attacked for the sake of the gospel of Christ. Father, we thank you for the privilege. I pray for every student of this academy that, Lord, this passion, this commitment, this dedication to the gospel, dedication to the defense of the gospel, dedication to the truth that is in Christ, will be so passionate in our hearts. And we thank you, Father, for the privilege to serve you, the privilege to serve your purpose, and the privilege to be a blessing in a world that is full of darkness. Father, we give you praise. You are our strength, you are our shield, you are our buckler, you are our glory, you are the lifter of our heads. And we thank you for the privilege to co-labor together with you. I pray that every student in this class, grace abounds, each of you have sufficiency in all things. You are kept, you are preserved. You are delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. No weapon formed against you prosper. The gospel thrives in your hand. The gospel prospers in your hand. Through you, men are coming to the light of the gospel. Great grace is upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. All right, take the assignments for the week. Question number one. What is the role of a mentor as discussed in the teaching? What is the role of a mentor as discussed in the teaching? What is the role of a mentor as discussed in the teaching? Question number two. What were the contents? The emphasis of Paul's letters to Timothy. The emphasis of Paul's letters or Paul's letter to Timothy, highlight at least five of such. Let me go over that question again. What were the contents? What was the emphasis of Paul's letter to Timothy? Highlight at least five of such. Highlight at least five of such. Highlight at least five of such. Glory to God. All right, Pastor Sean, that's it from me today, except there are questions. I'm here to answer them.